Lived in Tampa Heights 40 years. That's where I got married the first time when I was 18 years old. And that was where my three boys was born, right there on Kay and Marion, right on the corner of Kay and Marion. My three boys now, they're all grown, and one of them is dead. My oldest boy is dead now, Walter. He would have been 65 years of age now if he was living. And I got one in Tampa now, my baby boy, he's 60. And I have another one in St. Petersburg, he's 61. The one in St. Petersburg, he's already retired. He was a dental technician at Bay Pine Hospital. And he's been retired now for about a year or two. No, ma'am. I never did teach any of my boys to make cigars.
I was going to ask you before about, do you remember any customs or any traditions growing up in Tampa in the Spanish community there at holidays or special foods or special religious celebrations when you were a child?
Well, there's one thing. The biggest different wasn't the food, you know. The Spanish are used to their food, which is very, very rich. It's delicious food. That's what I'm also in love with it. That's what I eat, and that's what my wife has learned how to cook Spanish food because to satisfy me, because I was used to that when I was grown by my mother. See, all her cooking was done in Spanish way, and I was used to it. So that's one thing in Ybor City. There, we had some of the finest restaurants in the world. You take the Columbia restaurant, it's considered one of the finest restaurants in the world. It's strictly Spanish food. Then we had Let's Know Without This restaurant, right on 7th Avenue, right across the street from Sanchez and Ayo Cigar Factory, right on the corner of 15th Street and 7th Avenue. And it was all strictly Spanish cooking. And at that, both of those restaurants had started in 1902.
You mentioned that you and your wife had a restaurant. Did you cook Spanish?
Well, since we moved to the St. Augustine, we had a restaurant here for about 15 years on the west side. My wife done all the cooking, yes. We both had American and Spanish cooking. We done a very good business here for about 15 years. And I help her and work at the same time in a furniture store. I was working for a Denmark furniture store here when we started that restaurant. She done all the cooking and I helped her sometime. And we were serving those Cuban sandwiches, which is very famous. Famous especially in Tampa. Those Cuban sandwiches are delicious sandwiches.
Is there a place around here we can get one for our lunch today?
No, there's no place here that you can get any real Cuban sandwiches. When my wife was over here working for McCartney Drugger Store, she was making the Cuban sandwiches there. But I don't know whether they're making them now or not. The Cuban sandwiches is composed of a baked ham, Spanish style. And the Spanish way of cooking the ham is you boil it with garlic in. You boil it until it's tender. And then you take it and get a hot iron and pour sugar over the top of it. And boil that sugar on the top of it. And then you use turkey. You use this ham, turkey, salami, cheese, very strong cheese, pickle, and mustard on a bread about 6 inches long. That's what makes a Cuban sandwich. They're making them in Jacksonville, but I don't think that you can get one here in San Augustine.
Mr. Rojas, is there a big Spanish community around here? Are there very many Cuban or Spanish descent people who live in San Augustine?
No, in San Augustine there's not any Spanish people. You only find them in Tampa. In Tampa or Key West, that you find a lot of Cubans and Spanish and Italian. In San Augustine, there's just a few Spanish people, very few. And years ago, 10 or 15 years ago, there was a few, but they have all died now. There's not any more left. It's just there was about 5 or 6 of us left. Yes, well, the datta pepper is a Menorcan system of cooking. They use that in their yellow rice and chicken. And that's a Spanish dish, the yellow rice and chicken. And the Menorcans use that datta pepper in their cooking. But the Spanish people don't. In Spain, they don't use any hot food. You know, Mexico is the one that uses hot food. Now, the Menorcans here, they are Spanish descent. They like that datta pepper, and it's grown here in San Augustine, plenty of it, and they all use it in their food. They use it in their yellow rice and chicken, and they use it in their soup and different things.
They make jelly out of it, I hear, too.
Jelly? No.
No?
No. It's only used in their soup or in their rice, perlos, they call them. Parlo, yellow rice and chicken, or yellow rice and pork, yellow rice and ham, yellow rice and sausage. My wife makes it over here.
Oh, really?
She does it once in a while, she makes it over here.
Well, you said now you came from Tampa to here. One more question. Was there a cigar industry here in St. Augustine?
Well, there was a cigar industry here before I came. When I came here, there was no cigar manufacturing here, with the exception of one little Buckeye. On Spanish Street, owned by a man, by a Spanish fellow named Marcelino Fernandez. But I never did come here to work as a cigar maker. The whole time that I came here, I worked in this furniture store. Yeah. And then we had the restaurant, and I helped my wife in the restaurant too.
Would you call the Enfiesta Cigar Company, would that be called a Buckeye?
That's small? A little Buckeye, yes, uh-huh. Ma'am. That's a little Buckeye.
Are there any big industries left in Tampa?
There's. No, there's about. All the big factories are closed, except they have a Tampa cigar factory. They have a Tampa cigar factory still running, but they're making machine made cigars. They're not handmade cigars. All the handmade cigar factories, big factories in Tampa, with the exception of 4 or 5 of them, that are still working. With very few workers, I'm still making them. Corral Wadisco is one of them. They're still making cigars by hand there. Gran Anis and Diaz is another one that are still making cigars there. But there's very few of them left, very few of them, because at one time there was about 40 cigar factories in Tampa, big factories. Some of employers hired as 1,000 cigar makers. Well, I was working. I went to work for Stackelberg, and during the flu epidemic in 1918, and the foreman was a man that had taught me how to make cigars, and so I went to work for him. making bunches. And while I was with him, they decided to put in molds. It was all handwork. They decided to put in molds. So Mr. Capel told me, he says, I am trying to put molds, and I don't know a thing in the world about molds. So I told him, says, Capel, I know how to work molds because I had learned how to work molds and have a Tampa cigar factory when it was just a little Buckeye in Tampa there. I had learned how to work molds. So I told him I knew how it, and so he said, will you help me? I said, yes. So about 400 cigar makers, they all turned from hand working to molds. And I helped them to learn all the cigar makers how to work the molds and how to learn how to make the molds. So a few days after they put in the molds, the flu epidemic started, and the foreman's two sons was in the hospital in Birmingham, Alabama, with the flu. And he had to go up there to see them, to be with them. And so Mr. Pendles told him, he says, well, if you have to go up there, put Domingo as a foreman. Hmm. So that's why I became to be a foreman.
Hmm. Can you tell me those wooden cigar molds, are they made by hand? Are they chiseled out by hand?
No, honey, they're made by machines.
With a lathe or something?
Yeah, they're all cut up and cut by machines. Hmm.
Was it faster to go by molds?
It is faster, yes. And makes a small, more perfect, more better work, more perfect work. You can take a bunch that comes out of a mold that's on that after it's been pressed for 30 minutes. It makes it easy to roll. It makes a perfect cigar. I think I've just about told you everything.
Thank you for taking so much time with us.
Okay.
April 26, 1978, St. Augustine, Florida. Interview conducted by Peggy Bulger and Brenda McCallum. We're going to...